Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Go old school with the throwback race from Darlington. Catch some of the most iconic rides as they hit the track for the Goodyear 400. It all starts Sunday at 3:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. And our Throwback Week celebration continues tomorrow on Fox Bet Live at 5 Eastern right here on FS1.
I have some thought. This is going to be a good NBA segment because I've been thinking about stuff this morning. Dame Lillard came out and he talked about how Kevin Durant is arguably the best player in the league. Now, it was all about offense. It wasn't about defense. It wasn't about health. It wasn't about leadership. And I said earlier, if Kobe was Michael, that's understood, their style. If LeBron's Magic, which is, they could really score more, but they're distributors, number one picks, a lot of pressure. If Iverson is Westbrook, let's bring on Rick Bucher. I think KD is Wilt. And I say that, they're both all-time talents. Wilt and KD, very mobile, kind of wanders all time for a decade, arguably the best pure unstoppable scorer in the sport for over a decade. You're going to look up, though, at some point and go, that's it? Wilt was only the seventh leading scorer? And I do think with KD, his legacy is, that's it? Because I don't think they're going to win this year. I don't think they get through Milwaukee. Your thoughts on how do you view KD and how will we view him later?
Yeah, no, it's an interesting comparison. I certainly do believe that it's apt in some ways. Some of Wilt's wandering was by necessity by the Warriors, who simply couldn't afford him. So it wasn't all his volition that he was moving around. But that said, we always think of Wilt, and I didn't know Wilt. I don't know about him the way I do KD. So it's hard for me to go too deep into this, but Wilt was always viewed and is continues to be viewed as an amazing talent who never had the team or championship success that you would expect from a player of his caliber. And I think that's where the comparison is very apt. I think the other part for me that's very interesting, where KD has morphed into Wilt, because the one thing that KD always told us from the very beginning was, all I want to do is hoop. I just want to be a hooper. And Wilt, as we know, got involved. He wanted to hoop, but he was into a multitude of things. Acting. As much as players were involved in or off-the-court activities in a big way, Wilt really led the charge when it came to that, particularly once he got to L.A. KD is doing that now. And so I think the hardest part, or maybe the where the comparison is most apt, is it's really hard to define who they are in the basketball universe, because you can look at the talent and say they should be this, and yet you always feel as if you're a little wanting. I mean, it's crazy to think that KD hasn't fulfilled his abilities. In the same way, it's crazy to think that Wilt Chamberlain didn't fulfill his abilities when you look at the pure numbers.
Right.
And yet, when you look at the overall success of their careers, that's the feeling that you have walking away from them. So, for the longest time, we compared LeBron to Wilt as a great physical talent. This was in particularly when we just couldn't get over the hump and win championships. But I feel as if maybe you're onto something, and that KD has replaced LeBron when it comes to that comparison.
Well, I think LeBron's a much greater leader than Wilt was. Wilt was a sort of his own guy. I think he didn't necessarily make everybody better. So here's a fascinating thing. I think one of the more interesting stories, Phoenix has surprised us and the Knicks have surprised us. Now, I don't think they're built to win a championship. The leap is too far from bad to title. But
agreed.
A fascinating thing is happening with the Knicks, and this is one of the hardest things to do in sports for a general manager. Julius Randle's not a max player, but he is right now. He embodies everything the Knicks. He plays hard. He plays every night. He plays defense. Right. He hustles, and he's not a max player, but he's playing like one this year. So what do the Knicks do with Julius Randle? Because I feel like if you don't give him all this money, the soul of the operation walks out the door. What do you do with him?
Yeah. Tread very carefully, because this is not this is an issue that a lot of teams run into, but it seems that the Knicks run into it more often than anybody else, which is somebody does something in New York and you get excited and then you go overboard and you make too much of it. Julius Randle has had a great breakout season. I can't help, and this might be the cynical part of me, can't help but feel that at least some of what is driving this transformation of Julius at both ends of the court is the fact that he only has $4 million guaranteed for next season.
Right.
It's $19 million total. He wants to get paid. And so he's on his best behavior. And you have a guy like Tom Thibodeau coming in, who I think can appeal and take advantage of what Julius is. But let's be clear. And I have this is where Knicks fans have lost their minds about Julius Randle as an MVP candidate. The depth and versatility of the Knicks is what is at their heart. It is why they have had all this success. Julius, you can make the case, is their best player, but they don't run everything through him.
That's right.
Their bench, they were a sub 500 team at one point this season, and they've had a good stretch, but a lot of that has come because their bench is outplaying every other bench.
Yeah.
So this is where they need to be, honestly. They have this next year, fully guarantee his contract. I wouldn't have a problem if they didn't extend him and just said, you know what, let's get one more year of prime Julius Randle playing for his next contract, whether it's with us or somebody else, because they're not at the leaping off point where they are, as you mentioned, a title contender. So if they do pay Julius some crazy extension, now it screws up the entire hierarchy of their team. Because you have a number of young players that are just, I would argue, just as valuable as Julius.
Oh, yeah.
Or darn near. And now how are you going to pay them
right,
commensurate to what you've got with Julius? And so you have Obi Toppin in the waiting. It's a little bit like quarterbacks in the NFL. You want to get the best out of them while you've got them at a reasonable sum. Because once you pay them max, now they have to deliver max. And I'm just not sure that Julius Randle has all of the tools necessary to be able to do that.
You know, it's interesting. Sometimes pressure's a real thing. And for the last couple of years, I feel like we've kind of demanded Milwaukee get to the finals. And when they don't, we're like, yeah, no, this Giannis thing is, it's a lot of hype. And I said yesterday, I think Milwaukee's going to win it this year. Once LeBron got hurt and said, I won't be 100%, I thought, okay, it's Milwaukee's year. First of all, we've dismissed them. No pressure. Second of all, they match up now really good with Brooklyn. Third, they brought a couple of pieces that don't get pub. They won't be on the cover of Slam Magazine, but P.J. Tucker and Drew Holiday, veterans, play defense, been in, you know, they're physical veteran players. Oh, can't have enough of those in the playoffs. And I think to myself, this is actually the year they're going to win. The year we dismiss them, the next year, it's no pressure. Nobody's talking about Milwaukee, and I don't think it's a hot take. I think it just makes a lot of sense. By the way, this could be happened to the Clippers. The year we said we gave up on them, the next year they come in. But your thoughts about Giannis, who's actually having a great year.
Yeah, for first of all, it's wide open when it comes to, at this point, with the Lakers a mess, with Brooklyn a mess. I don't know that there's a favorite. I think there are five or six teams that that ultimately could win it. And that does benefit teams like the Bucks and like the Clippers in that it's wide open and there's no clear favorite. You mentioned how the Bucks are more primed. Honestly, I agree. Drew Holiday and P.J. Tucker are great additions. Just steady, heady veterans that you've added to the equation. You know what you're going to get in, night out. But here's the big difference. Giannis Antetokounmpo, in the same way that the Bucks are being overlooked, is being completely overlooked for MVP this year because I suspect the voters, one, are disappointed that he didn't deliver in the postseason after being voted MVP the last 2 years, and because they don't want to put him in that rare air of Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain and Larry Bird, the only three players who have ever won three consecutive MVPs. That's not my problem because I didn't vote him number one MVP the last 2 years. And when I look at not what he's doing, but how he's doing it, he is more of an MVP this year. I don't care what the numbers say. If you watch the Brooklyn games, if you've watched Milwaukee consistently this year, Giannis Antetokounmpo is operating in the mid-post. I've always said he has to do that. He has to be a threat with a mid-range jumper, and he has to be able to make plays, have the poise to make plays out of that mid-range. He is doing that. He's also stepping up when your best player has to say, oh, their guy's knocking down shots, watch me. He answered with KD in these last couple of games. KD came down, knocked, hit a big dagger three. Giannis came back down the other way and took a three, and in this case, made it to respond to it. All I want is him taking those shots, taking the mid-range when it's there, taking the three when it's there, because that then allows the rest of your team to have confidence that our guy's not afraid of the big moment. That's what Giannis has demonstrated this year more than ever before, and I think it's why it makes them so dangerous. So I'm with you. I don't want to pick a favorite, but I believe the Bucks have as good a chance as anybody does this year, and a better chance than they had in the last 3 years.
By the way, a minute left. Were you surprised LeBron not only got hurt but acknowledged, I'll never be 100% again? That was kind of an interesting admission, was it not?
It is what separates him from every other superstar player that we've ever seen, and it's why he's so polarizing. I mean, can you imagine Kobe or Michael or just about anybody saying, yeah, you know what, I'm hurt and I'm never going to be the same again? It floors me. My only thought as to why that is because it takes all of the pressure off. The expectation that he's going to come back and he's going to save the day, he may very well still come back and save the day. But now if he doesn't, he can say, hey, look, I told you, not 100%. But for a guy who just a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, was putting out there on Instagram, the storm is brewing, like we're coming. And now, he was recovering from his injury at the time. And now suddenly it's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play with this. It is, look, LeBron takes us on his roller coaster, his emotional roller coaster. I feel like we as Americans, we're his therapy couch. And he just lets us know from minute to minute exactly where he is mentally. And we're just not used to hearing that or seeing that from the face of the franchise and the face of the league.
Rick Bucher, good seeing you, bud. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Same, Colin.
All right. Good NBA topics today. The Knicks are, not that they're trapped, but, you know, you got these salary caps. This is the best version of Julius Randle by a lot. And the minute you go all in, all of a sudden now you got to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. And by the way, it's not cynical. We're all motivated by the dangling dollar bills. Like, he's got money out there if he delivers, and he's having the best year ever. I think a lot of people are motivated by, hey, if you have six more good weeks on the air, they're probably going to re-sign you. It'd probably be the best 6 months you've ever had on the air. Like, that's the we're all motivated by something. There's a finish line for a lot of things, and Julius Randle looks at that and thinks, I just keep playing. I'm in New York. I'm playing great. And by the way, he was good in L.A. with the Lakers. The Lakers' problem was the Warriors were transforming the game and shooting threes, and like Zion, he gave you twos. So he was a math problem. Like, the Lakers like Julius Randle, but they're like, the West is all three-point shooters, and we've got really great, efficient two-point guy. It's not like the Lakers moved off him because they didn't like him. He was not a bust. He was a good player in L.A., and he's a good player in New York, just having a great year. So do you have to pay him now suddenly great money?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
So the 49ers drafted Trey Lance third overall.
Yeah.
But they did keep Jimmy Garoppolo, despite many rumors that he might be on the trade block. And CEO Jed York said he's perfectly comfortable with Lance sitting behind Jimmy G for a couple years.
Come on now.
If we are in a situation where Jimmy goes out and takes us to the Super Bowl again and has an MVP caliber season and does it again, like, there are worse dilemmas to be in. And it's great to have a guy that you do believe in, so you don't have to put the weight of the world on a rookie, whoever it was that we were going to choose. Now that we know that Trey is here, you don't have to put the weight of the world on that kid's shoulders.
Yeah, that's why.
If Jimmy takes them to a Super Bowl and has an MVP caliber season, then we'll have that conversation then. I don't anticipate that for Jimmy G.
You know, I think what you do with Trey Lance is you put him in some of the offense. This is what you do with Justin Fields. We're going to put you in some of the offense. It could be red zone stuff. It could be, but you don't need to just necessarily, because Trey Lance and Justin Fields are better runners than Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes probably the better pure thrower. But these guys are like 6'4", 220, hyper-athletic. There's a Cam component here, although I think they're both better throwers than Cam. I could see Trey Lance being in all sorts of sets week one, just not the franchise starting quarterback.
I think they'll wait a little longer to work him in, but I think that they should. It's just with Jimmy G, there's no guarantee he's going to be healthy. So to Jed's point, yeah, if they make it to a Super Bowl again with Jimmy G, maybe you hang on to him another year. But if he makes it to a Super Bowl and Trey's ready to play, then he is much more valuable on the trade market if he can make it through an entire season healthy and take San Francisco to the Super Bowl again. But you have Trey. You took him third overall. Fan base is excited about him, and he's the future. So if he makes it to, if Jimmy G can make it through an entire season, have an MVP level season, and take him to the Super Bowl, then yeah, you're in that dilemma. But there's no guarantee that Jimmy is going to be healthy week one. Right. That's why you took Trey. So it's just like it's an extreme scenario to throw out there. Like, yes, you'd probably be having the conversation about if you keep Jimmy for another year, if you can make it to that point. But that's not why you took Trey third overall. So the Lakers are currently fighting to stay out of the play-in tournament. LeBron will be sidelined tonight against the Clippers and at least tomorrow against the Blazers. They have 7 games left, and head coach Frank Vogel knows this isn't where LeBron hoped to be so close to the end of the season.
It's not an ideal situation. Ideally, he gets 100% and has 10 games to get his legs and rhythm and timing under him. We're not going to have that. We want him back as soon as possible, but we want him back as healthy as possible. You know, that's the number one goal. You know, wherever we end up in the standings, we want him as healthy as possible going into the playoffs. And, you know, other than that, you know, we're just going to compete and win as many games as we can down the stretch here.
I forgot about the storm is coming Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Post.
Well, he's missed 21 games this season to the ankle injury, 22 games total.
LeBron gets hurt now. It's the new LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's getting older. He's played. Forget how many seasons he's played.
It's games.
Think about how many games in the postseason he's played. All of those
or
total up to an entire additional season.
Yeah.
So, yes, like it's not unrealistic that he would be more banged up. And they had a shortened offseason. And they went the furthest along with the Heat in the bubble. So all of this makes sense. It's just unfortunate because they're now in a situation because they weren't able to maintain without him. And, of course, Anthony Davis got hurt. That they might be looking at a play-in game. Now, I hate that for the NBA because nobody wants to see the Lakers get bumped in a play-in game.
It's a disaster potentially for the NBA having a bad ratings stretch. It's bad. I mean, the Denver-Milwaukee, I mean, the draft got 13 million people. Denver-Milwaukee probably gets 5 million viewers, finals. You want LeBron in.
It's no shade to Denver and Milwaukee.
No,
which are wonderful American cities. But this is a business. And the big brands matter. And you just need it. Like, you need LeBron and the Lakers in the playoffs. You don't want them to be in a play-in situation and they happen to lose. They're 6th in the West. They're 1 game ahead of the Blazers right now, who they play tomorrow. So, yeah, we just show the standings. It's not what the Lakers wanted. Like, if anything, you could count on LeBron being healthy. Like, that was sort of what you signed up for with Anthony Davis, because you know that he is often injured and very fragile. But LeBron is not. LeBron is the opposite of that. But now, because of partly, I think, due to the pandemic and the switching around of the schedules and everything being, you know, not his usual cadence throughout the off season and even through the season, last year having the 4 months off benefited him. But then it's a sprint through the bubble, and then it's a sprint through the off season, back to a sprint of a condensed season now. So it's just things are not really lining up for the Lakers. Amid recent talks that Aaron Rodgers might leave Green Bay or even retire, one local Wisconsin restaurant decided to make a pitch to keep him around. Mr. Brew's Tap House said it will provide Rodgers and his fiancée, Shailene Woodley, free food and free beer for life if he finishes his career
that
with the Packers.
That is a very attractive offer. By the way, Herd Burger would make the same offer if he came out and played in, you know, Los Angeles eventually. I would give
free beer and free food.
I will Aaron and his beautiful girlfriend, free Herd Burgers, fiance, free Herd Burgers forever. Well, the Rams don't need a quarterback and the Chargers don't.
Do I get free and the free Niners beer and burgers from Herd Burger?
Are you leaving?
No.
It's only for people who threaten to leave.
Yeah, I might leave. I might. Herd Burger does have good burgers. Well, the owner said in a news release that we can't let Aaron go. No way, no how. They also started a Save Aaron Rodgers campaign on their Facebook page. Save Aaron Rodgers. Forget Save the Whales. It's Save Aaron Rodgers now. I get it. The Packers, this cannot have been a great 2 weeks for Packers fans.
If Jordan Love can play, it's not the end of the world. It all comes down to the front office and scouts. If he can play, you're going to have a 24-year-old guy who you're not paying for 3 years as a starter. That's what it comes down to. If he can play, this is not great, but it's not a disaster.
I don't know. I don't like to bet on outliers for the future of my organization. I bet outliers all the time, but I don't bet them for the future. And that going from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to another first ballot Hall of Famer feels a bit like a stretch.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody has that much luck in the world.
That's fair. All reasonable. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Now, Aaron's 37. I don't know if he has the Brady gene, but I do think he's going to be in this sport for 4 or 5 or 6 more years, potentially. I think he could play to 42 or 43. It's easy throwing. You know, he's got some collarbone issues, but he's a pretty easy thrower. Next, we'll play air in or air out. Quarterbacks I would or wouldn't take next 10 years over Aaron Rodgers. I said 5 years. Staff made me take 10. It creates some interesting dilemmas.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good things come to those who wait at Jersey Mike's. They also come to those who don't. Download the app, order ahead, skip the line, cut to the chase by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Great to have you in. It's Thursday today. Week's almost over. It's unbelievable. This week has flown by. That's what happens, America, when you create riveting content. Okay, best for last. Air in or air out? Over the next 10 years, would I take Aaron Rodgers or the quarterback joy offers?
Baker Mayfield.
Well, Aaron has 11 winning seasons, Baker Mayfield has one, and the Browns have not offered him a contract extension yet. I would take Aaron Rodgers, and I think that's fairly obvious.
I don't think it's very obvious in Cleveland at all. They're very upset with that take.
You know what they have right now? They live in their own parallel universe.
Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers or Justin Herbert?
Well, Justin Herbert is younger, bigger, stronger, and has never been injured. So 10 years, I would take Justin Herbert. By the way, think about all the rookie records he broke last year, all of them with the lowest rated offensive line in football. Okay, Aaron's always had above average protection. To break those records, and it took Aaron 3 years to get into a starting role. So Herbert, I think, is one of the most shocking generational talents we've seen in football in ages.
Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes?
Again, this is not a tough one. I get somebody who has the arm, at least is athletic, and I think his personality is built for a more less chaotic relationship. I would take Patrick Mahomes. Again, I don't think that's a tough one.
Aaron Rodgers or Lamar Jackson?
Tougher, but it's Aaron, and I'll tell you why. Because last year we did see a decline in passing numbers for Lamar Jackson. Does that mean the league's caught up with him? Not necessarily. Maybe if you ask me this question in a year, it changes. But I want to see, little concerned, the league has now seen Lamar, and there are ways to play him. We'll see.
Aaron Rodgers or Josh Allen?
Again, this doesn't feel particularly close. Josh Allen. I've got no injuries, bigger athlete, faster athlete, stronger arm, great coach, and unlike Green Bay, an organization willing to go out and get Stephon Diggs or Emmanuel Sanders. Also, they've really figured this out. They are really building a very pro-Josh Allen offense. They're really taking care of this kid. So that's an easy one.
Aaron Rodgers or Kyler Murray?
At this point, Aaron Rodgers. Kyler Murray's 13-18-1. So he's not winning enough. He did make a big leap from year one to year two. I don't know if he has the right coach right now. That is a very difficult division. But right now, I have to see another year. I need to see more wins.
Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson?
I know what you're saying. He's from Seattle, but I would take Russell Wilson. 5 years younger, no injuries, a better scrambler. Oh, forget injuries. I can't remember two times he's been hit. So Russell is one of those guys. There's a LeBron thing here. Sometimes genetically, like, dudes just don't get hurt much. I mean, Aaron's had some collarbone stuff. Like, Russell just doesn't get hurt.
He gets hit a lot. But he doesn't get hurt.
He doesn't get hurt.
Aaron Rodgers or Matthew Stafford?
Okay, so remember, this is 10 years. I would say Stafford. Here's why. He inherits the number one defense in the league, a hyper-aggressive front office that will go get him players. The Rams' O-line, although they have to address it next draft, was top three in the league last year, and they have a great running game and bountiful receivers. So again, 10 years. Next year, maybe not. But if you look at what the Rams do, because they made that move, Joy, that aggressive move to get Stafford, they're going to make this work. You watch next year's draft. They are going to go all O-line, the Rams are, to make sure this asset they gave up a lot to get pays off.
Aaron Rodgers or Trevor Lawrence?
I know this is crazy, right? I'd say Trevor Lawrence. He's got a 15-year runway. I think if you look at what the Jacksonville Jaguars did, it was all offense in the draft. I think Urban Meyer works to some level. And also, it's a weird division. This kid's not entering the NFC West or the AFC West. This division is declining Tennessee. Odd Houston, and Indy's good, but they're paying a lot to Carson Wentz, so there may be some limitations there the next two or three years. I'd say Trevor Lawrence.
Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers or Justin Fields?
Aaron, because there's more questions about Justin Fields. I mean, we don't know if they're GM and they're, we don't know. Chicago's got some unsettled business. They also need to go out and upgrade the O-line they did in the draft there and receivers, but they're still, I do think with Justin Fields, unlike Trey Lance, I've got some questions about everything. Leadership up.
All right. Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? Next 10 years.
Let me check his age. Aaron is 37, so he is 6.5 years younger than Brady. So in 10 years, Tom would be 53. I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers. But if it was five.
If it was five, you would take Tom?
Tom's playing next year and the year after. And based on Jason Light's draft history, it's not like Tom needs to get touched a lot. I could actually see Brady doing this, giving one more year and saying I'll play 10 games. If they went and drafted somebody and they really liked him and Tom's like, listen.
Well, they took Kyle Trask.
I don't think he's the guy, but maybe. There you go. By the way, Canadians Maple Leafs Discover Card Key Matchup. Discover matches all the cash back you earn into your first year automatically and no limit. How amazing is that? Discover.com/yes. Limitations do apply. 2021 Nielsen Report. By the way, I signed up for Cameo. If you want me to give your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother a Father's Day, Mother's Day, birthday wish or whatever, you can go there, Cameo. Joy, a couple weeks, I'm done. trying. You've done it before.
I'm on there now, yeah. I have like six I think I have to do.
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. What did I get myself into? All right. Really? You get six a day?
No, not six a day. I have six like waiting. You have 3 days to do them. So.
Oh, after 3 days, they go away?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So you don't have to do it right away.
But you got to do it kind of right away.
Kind of, yeah.
All right. C-A-M-E-O, cameo.
Yep.
All right. All right. And you enjoy that?
I think it's nice.
All right. Oh, I'm nice, so it'll work. All right, Friday. I mean, it's amazing. Amazing. Great show. We'll see you tomorrow. It's The Herd.